And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Donna Doherty. Donna Doherty. Donna Doherty. This is Lee Doherty and I'm Donna Dunk. This is Lee Doherty and I'm Donna Doherty.
I'm Josh Giddy and I'm down to dunk.
Hey, this is Kenny Hussle and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Darius Baisley and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Mike Muscala and I'm down to dunk.
This is Poku and I'm down to dunk.
I love cereal. Captain Crunch. Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Cracklin' Oat Bran.
Oh, I can have these? I'm going to share with my team, but I'm a hog most of them.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. We are part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me tonight, my man Al's making his triumphant return. Because, Alex, we've got the second pick in the NBA draft this year.
Woo! Woo! I just scared my... I'm right next to my guinea pig. I'm down here in the wood room in my house where all the walls are wood. And my guinea pig is right down there. She's freaked out right now. She's shaking because she's so excited, Andrew. Oh, she knows that the Thunder are guaranteed to get one of the top three players, or someone else that Sam Presti likes. It doesn't matter at this point, Andrew.
Who cares,
because we got
bro.
The second pick.
It's incredible.
The second pick.
So, big shout out to the Jones Assembly and to Lively Beer Works for helping us put on the best lottery party that has happened in Thunder history, period.
How many people were there?
Full
How
stop.
Many people were there?
I don't really know. Like 300, 400, something just ridiculous. There's a video floating out there that I put out of the reaction. It was unhinged and just like electric and beautiful. And just, it was one of those moments that you just never forget. And I'm so thankful that we could do that at the Jones Assembly and with Lively partnering. We will have a draft party. So mark your calendars, be there. We don't know where yet. We are actually like working on that as we speak, like trying to make sure that we get a good enough venue for that, because it could be even crazier. And what was great is that we had the contrast from last year to this year, where we knew what it felt like to be so disappointed. And you know, we go from last year where it could be 1 in 5 and you only get 6. And like, you just know the pain. And you know, I talked to a lot of people before the lottery started, and everybody's just like, feels like so conservative about like, I don't know, like I hope maybe for number 4, or you know, if we get 5, I'm fine. I'm okay with 5, you know. Just people that have been hurt by the lottery process in the past. It's like all these people I talked to. But as really once you got to the commercial break, because that's where you want to be, you just want to get to the commercial break. And when your team is at the commercial break, like that place was just so vibrant. It was unreal. And then just them drawing the Kings. And then when they drew the Rockets. And there's something special, Al, about it being the Rockets being drawn before you that just makes it even more sweet. And you just, honestly, once the Kings were drawn, I felt like, I don't care which slot
right,
we get.
Yeah.
I just want, just give me one of those. And then when you get 2 and it's in front of the Rockets, the feeling was just like no other. And it's, if it's the Magic at number 1, who cares if it's Magic number 1? And by the way, like the Magic, like do they have the most number 1 picks in the history of the NBA now? Is that a thing? Like they have a ton.
And also, like going back to last year, who were the two teams that dropped of like the bad teams? It was Orlando and OKC.
Yeah.
Like true. Orlando dropped, I think, a spot or two.
It's rigged.
And then we
is what
dropped.
You're saying.
And so now it's like redemption. It's the redemption it arc is. For the Magic and the Thunder. We come back. We're the ones jumping spots.
Whew.
The other teams are falling back. And I was loving it. And it was actually nice that we had the fourth best odds and could potentially fall to eight because there was so much longer buildup.
Yes.
Cause like right when it got to eight, it was like, okay, I'm locked in starting at eight.
I know.
Like
yes.
Once I knew the Clippers pick wasn't jumping, it's like, okay, I'm chilling out till eight. And exactly. Then when eight starts, I'm expecting the Thunder on every single time. And as it kept not coming up, and I was sitting here with my mother-in-law who thought this was the actual draft. She was asking me who I wanted them.
You didn't have anybody to match your energy at home?
I was explaining how the draft lottery works and that, no, it's actually not that exciting. It's actually this really weird, bizarre 30-minute show that doesn't actually mean anything yet.
Right.
Yeah. But it can still be fun. But as it got on, you know, she caught on, and by the end of it, we were pumping fists. I was screaming in my newborn's face, you know, just scarring him for life. I just, when we got to four, like you said, feel like, okay, I'm in the clear, but then you're in the back of your mind, you're like, just give me three. If you just give me three basketball gods, I will never ask for anything again, because that guarantees you one of those top three guys. And then to see the Rockets, it was. I just haven't felt that way about basketball in a while, Andrew. It's been rough.
We haven't had positive basketball feelings, like true positive. Honestly,
I mean, listen, we jumped from 15 to 12, okay? And that was a fun night. We had our emergency bird pod.
We did.
That was a blast.
Bird night was cool.
And I thought that felt great.
Yeah.
But now that I know what this feels like, it's a different level.
I was talking to my wife on the way home and just trying to like compare it to like another sports moment because it was like a really cool sports moment for the Thunder. And like the most comparable moment that I can think of that I was present for was that Clippers game five where Chris Paul does his Chris Paul stuff and the Thunder win the game when they really
where you feel like
have.
You like pulled something out of your hat.
Exactly.
You weren't supposed to win.
Yeah.
And then you were surprised.
Yeah. It was unbelievable.
Well, if you think back, like when have we just thinking about the lottery, when have we ever experienced something like this as a fan base at this level? Because especially back when they landed the two pick for Kevin Durant, it's not like we were having watch parties then.
No, I literally heard it on the radio in my car.
Like after the fact?
Yes.
Or you were
like it was like ESPN radio. I'm just driving around like, oh, the lottery happened tonight. You know, like that's how I found out about it.
And then like the Westbrook one was the same way. Harden is the first one where I remember like wanting the first pick just because of Blake Griffin.
Yeah. But I was at home. Like, I was at home with Amy. We weren't doing anything.
Yeah. The fan base still didn't feel like well established. And then obviously we have last year, but now to have this where you actually get like that release of celebration of victory. It's just, we've been waiting for it.
It was glorious.
I mean, we've been spending 2 years watching 2 years. Mostly terrible basketball.
Yeah.
Hoping that eventually luck will turn our way.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's great to jump from 15 to 12. And we'll talk about how 12 is looking kind of juicy when you start seeing these mock drafts.
It's got some juice.
Because it does feel like a cutoff point in this draft. But yeah, this is like real luck that the Thunder has finally caught a break. And I go back to like, you know, all our discussions about tanking and people saying, you know, Steph Curry, he was taken at 7. Giannis was taken at 15. Kawhi was taken at 15. Like there's good players throughout a draft, which is absolutely true. All those players were available at number 2 though.
Yeah.
And what this does for the Thunder is it takes the entire draft board and it says, you can't have one guy, everyone else open to you. we're reducing your choices by one. The rest of it, it's up to you. You can do literally whatever you want. And just like that is so much power for a team that desperately needs blue chip talent in the way that the Thunder do.
And like just a reminder, in the process that the Thunder are in now, this is draft number 2 that we're going into. And you almost felt like in draft 1 where they didn't get lucky, they like dodged a bullet in a way in getting Josh Giddey at 6. Because there are so many 6 picks that are just not good players. like flat out not right. good NBA players. I think I'd be very surprised if Josh ended up not being a good NBA player. I think he is a good NBA player. And then to get number two and draft number two, when you have only the fourth best odds, I mean, we were stressing about it all year. Like, we're stressing about losses on a night-to-night basis. And, like, those Blazers wins at the end of the year, and like, everything, you're just like, oh, my gosh, like, it just can't happen again. We can't do the six again. And to get lucky in draft number two literally could be franchise-changing. And for it to only be draft number two when you've got guys, and in draft number two you have two lottery picks, one at two, one at 12. This is how franchises get changed. Now, they have to select the right player, and that player has to have the ceiling that we hope that they have. But you get the chance, like you get the opportunity to draft a cornerstone piece of your franchise in this draft. And that is the luck that the Thunder needed. Because if you draft five or six in this draft and go into next season, well, we've already talked about it a ton, they're probably not going to be in the bottom two next year with that crew. And now next year doesn't have to have so much weight to it as well, because you're walking away with two lottery picks, one at number two. You can develop a core of that and then maybe get like the seventh or eighth pick in next year's draft and develop your core from that group better than you could with a sixth pick, a fifth pick, and a seventh pick. Like that is so unlikely for you to have a really good team. Now, if you're drafting 6-2-7 and you already have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, it's like, oh, okay. Like the Thunder can be real serious real fast because of the luck that was had tonight.
And I think another important point to bring up is there are scenarios in which this fell, which makes it more likely, in my opinion, that the Thunder could potentially move up if they really wanted to. And the two positions I look at is Sacramento at 4 and Portland, who fell.
Yeah.
Is Portland at 7 or are they at 8?
They're at 7.
They're at 7, yeah.
That has got to be such a – I mean, that's such a huge bummer for – I mean, for teams like the Pacers and the Blazers, who are just
desperate. This is like their shot.
This was it. This was it. Like, this was their gap year to get a lottery pick. And you get 6 and 7 in a draft that is thought to be like a four-player draft. Like, that's a huge gut punch to both of them, because they were really hoping. And the Blazers, I mean, we've talked about the luck of the Blazers since the trade deadline. I mean, that is a huge blow to that Blazers franchise.
It sets up this idea that I've really believed in for a while, which is that, because I've been listening to Blazers podcast, and they basically said, like, if they jump up, they're keeping the pick no matter what. Like,
yeah.
And then anybody they've would. Gone as far as to say, like, they're not trading their own pick. But what if you could have a scenario where you got the 12th pick, which you could then trade for Jeremy Grant, which is a much more reasonable trade for Jeremy Grant than trading the 7th pick, and get something extra, whether it's like giving them 30th pick or maybe even a player to move up to 7. I think there's a deal potentially there that could make sense for both sides, because Portland, like, they're not going to get a guy at 7 most likely that's going to immediately come in and contribute, unless like maybe Keegan Murray falls to 7. Like, I think that would be a scenario where it makes sense.
That's possible.
But outside of that, like, I just don't see who the guy is going to be at 7 that you're feeling. The Blazers, who want to make the playoffs next year, like, Dame is going to be healthy. He's going to be past this abdominal thing. Like, they want someone who can actually help them win. I don't know if you're getting that at 7.
Yeah.
So is there a deal there? And then for Sacramento, like, we already know, like, Sacramento wants to make the playoffs every single year. That's the only goal. It's probably the reason why they took Davion Mitchell last year, because he was an older player. It's probably the reason why they might just end up taking Keegan Murray at 4 this year. That would, like, not shock me at all if Keegan Murray is the pick at 4.
Yeah.
But is there potentially a deal there with the Kings? Now, I think that is where you get into the Dort conversation.
Yeah, that's what I was about, like, to say. Like, who's the player for you? And it, like, Lou is the one that makes sense if they're looking for somebody to help them now as a point of attack defender.
Right. Now, the problem is, like, now you have Dort and Davion Mitchell. Like, is that, like, is that really like the best fit in the world? Probably not.
Yeah.
But I they obviously need a ton of defense.
Yeah.
What they have right now. And if you could do a deal like 12 and Dort, and maybe even additional pick, like 12 and Dort and the Denver pick to move up all the way to 4 and potentially draft someone like Shaedon Sharpe or whoever you like.
Yeah.
Is that a potential deal? So those are like the two spots I'm looking at now for the Thunder. We're like, can we make this even better?
You are so greedy, my man. And
I'm very greedy. I'm very greedy. I mean, I just feel like it lined up perfect because there's some teams, like if Detroit lands at 4.
Detroit's like, not trading their pick. Period. They're right. Not trading their pick.
And I feel the same way about, like there's a couple teams. So like Houston.
Houston,
like,
not trading their pick. Orlando, not trading their pick. If Indy ends up in the top 4, like they're not trading their pick. They're not trading their pick anyways.
And so that's why I think Sacramento moving up and Portland falling back are two really important things. I'm not saying it's going to happen with the Thunder, but I think as this process goes on, those are the teams that people start talking about as like open for business.
Yeah. And part of me is just like, don't do anything, because I just did a beat writer mock draft on The Athletic. I don't know when it's going to be up, but I took Chet Holmgren number 2 and I took AJ Griffin at number 12. Like there's somebody in this group is going to drop to 12, whether it's Johnny Davis or Ben Mathurin or Dyson Daniels or AJ Griffin. Somebody in that group is likely to drop to 12. And for me, I have no idea, Al, who's going to be the best out of that group. I just have absolutely no clue who's going to be the best out of that group. And if you're telling me that I can keep Dort and I can get a player like that and I can get the number 2 pick and we can still have developing pieces like Giddy and Trey Mann, like that's where I'm just like, I don't know that I really want to.
Yeah, you might not need to, because like looking at the Athletic, I'm just going to go through the mock drafts real quick.
Yeah.
Like the big ones that came out. So Sam Vecenie, he has Orlando taking Jabari and OKC taking Chet. But then down at 12, like the name that kind of falls in this group that we're talking about is Dyson Daniels. And I do feel like there's a cutoff there around 12, because like after that, now you're talking about Mark Williams, Usman Jang, like Ochai. Like there are still names that like maybe you like or not, but I do feel like it feels like there's a tier there from like 12 to 13. You look at the ESPN draft, they have Orlando taking Jabari, OKC taking Chet. Go down to 12, they actually have us taking Usman Jang, but Jeremy Sochan, they have him going 18. So like that's a guy who would be there.
And Jang may be a guy that rises up boards. I mean, the thing about Jang and Dyson Daniels is like they're crazy young. Like Jang is still 18. I think Dyson Daniels just turned 19. And the talent with both of them, like they have very high ceilings. They're projects. And that's where I get a little bit excited, like taking a project in like Dyson Daniels or Jang and taking Chet, who's going to be a project, is it's going to slow things down some for the Thunder. Instead of making them take this big leap, I think it will slow things down for them where they may have a chance at a top 5 or 6 pick in the next draft. You know, like that's like the real dream, is that the players now are going to need time and going to need development, so much so that you get to the next draft and you like can have the chance to strike gold again. I mean, that's like part of why you do this. Like that is the process playing out, you know, before your very eyes. And you don't, and if you hold all your cards and you hold all your picks, I mean, I don't know. And I also, like, I just have to continually stress this, is that we have no idea what Sam Presti thinks about these prospects. And I promise you that Sam Presti's draft board looks a lot different than any mock draft that you can see out there. And you just wonder, like, what does he think about a Usman Jang or a Dyson Daniels or a Ben Mathurin or even Jalen Duren? Like, we haven't mentioned his name. Like, what does he think about those guys? Like, I don't know. I don't know what he thinks about those guys. He may have Dyson Daniels at 6. He may have, you know, and so if he can get a guy at 12 who he's got 6th on his draft board, like that might be the case. And I mean, it's just the luck that they had tonight is going to pay massive dividends. And if, to me, everybody that's at the draft party, everybody that's probably on the stream right now, I think we're having a record number of people on our stream right now, which is really cool. Like, you guys all get it. You all understand it. You understand the process behind all of this. But like, a night like tonight is what you can take to the people that don't believe in it. You know, like, this is why you do it. Like, you do it so that you can have the chance to get the number two pick in the draft. And because you have done such a good job with your asset management, not only do you have two, you have 12. Like, this is why you do this. And you have the chance to, like, a lot of people like our core group of Shay, Giddy, Dort, add whoever else you'd like. I wouldn't really add many more to that. But if that's your group and you can add two key pieces in this draft, like, now you're starting to really cook. Now you really start to see, like, the hype of why they're doing this. And also, you can also can all of the, like, free agency talk that's happening right now because because of what just happened tonight. Is like, we're not going to try to get DeAndre Ayton. Like, none of those things are going to happen because the process is playing out perfectly. And this is, like, the ultimate time to be able to explain it to somebody who's been, like, a process hater to this point. Because this is what it's all about.
Yeah, not only that, but also just, like, the obsession with the back end of this roster. Like, it's going to feel so much different going into next season where you have Shay, Giddy, and two more top 12 picks.
Yeah.
Likely. Who knows? And then everyone else, like, yeah. and then now Dort's all of a sudden the fifth guy, and like all of a sudden Dort makes sense, way more sense than he did last season.
Yep. Like, and they still have 30 and 34 in this draft. Like, right. That's another scenario where they could take 30 and 34 and trade up to like 22. And I don't know who I like at 22 yet, but we sure do like the guys that we take at 22. You know what I mean? Like we obsess about those guys.
And the other thing, and this is where I like slightly disagree with you, in that I think that this team will be better next season simply because they land in the top three. If they take one of these big guys, they're going to be playing more functional lineups out of the gate than they have the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Like, Jabari Smith isn't my favorite prospect, but like putting him on a team with Giddy and Shay, like, that's just going to work offensively in a way that lineups last year didn't.
Yeah, he's still so young. Like, he's still so young. These guys are still so young. Young bigs just really, really struggle. And I think
imagine giving his, like, Baisley's 30 minutes to Jabari Smith next year, a guy who's going to be shooting, like, good from three, who's not going to be shooting 29%. Like, that completely changes the offense.
It does. I agree.
Like, when they have to close out on literally anyone on this team, which they do not have to do right now, it changes everything.
Offensively. Defensively is where they could take a step back, because that's why they were good at all this year, was because they were good defensively. That's where I'm hopeful that they will drag the defense down for a year. You know what I mean? Because
I think if you take Chet or Jabari, like, good luck with that, because I think those guys are going to come in. Like, dude, they had a league average defense when Trey Mann was on the floor last year. Like Chet and Jabari are so much further along defensively than so many of these other young guys that are on the Thunder, and they're still putting up like top 15 defense across a season, like a very up and down season. Like, I think that if you get one of Chet or Jabari on defense, and I'm not even saying those are my top two guys, but if you just get one of those guys, I think the offensive lineups are going to be.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they could take Paolo, which I think Paolo is a different story because, like, Paolo doesn't project to be this, like, awesome defensive player out of the gate.
Yeah.
And he probably wouldn't be. But either of those other two guys, and I feel like the defense is still going to be solid and the offense is going to be way more functional than it was a year ago.
It's possible. I'm not sure I'm buying it, but it's possible.
He's possible.
Dude, they got the number two pick in this NBA draft. We're going to take a quick break. And after that break, I'm going to tell you why I knew they were getting the number two pick before it happened, right after this. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And we're back after that quick break. So this past weekend, I was on a little trip with my wife, and we went to the beach, and I rented a convertible, and it was
what kind?
Absolutely delightful. It was like a brand new Mustang convertible. It was the freaking best weekend ever. And I'm driving, grooving, got the music bumping, driving down the beach, and not on the beach, but on the road by the beach. And a bird pooped onto my head. I just felt this smack onto my head. And I reach my hand up on top of my hair and I look, and it's bird poop. And I'm like, a bird just pooped on my head. What are the odds in a moving vehicle that a bird would poop on my head? Well, I looked it up, and apparently it means very good luck. Very good luck. Like, a lot of cultures believe it's very, very good luck to have a bird poop on your head because it's so unlikely. Now, they put number two on my head. Lucky number two. That's how I knew.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So, there we go. You can thank this bird for taking a big dump on my head, and we got number two pick.
Hey, I was just looking at Twitter. Did you know, I don't even know if you know who Tyler Lockett is, but he's a wide receiver for the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's very good. He played at Kansas State.
Okay.
He's awesome. He's a Thunder fan.
Oh, nice.
He's tweeting about the Thunder. He said number 2 and number 12, let's go. We should try to get him on the show.
We should get him on the pod. We definitely should. There was also somebody, oh gosh, I'm trying to remember what his name was. And bless his heart, he was wearing this hoodie. It was a good luck hoodie. It is 94 degrees in Oklahoma City today. And he is in this like pretty thick dark blue hoodie, and is telling me that when the Clippers lost and our pick jumped up to 12, he was wearing that hoodie. And there were a couple other instances where he was wearing this hoodie. And he's like, this is my good luck hoodie. And anybody else that did anything else, I mean, everybody really brought it. Everybody really brought it today. Kudos to everybody for showing up and helping us get this number two pick. Just incredible.
I mean, listen, these trying times for a franchise when your team's not good, like, you need moments like this.
Without a doubt.
I mean, going back to the process Sixers, like, I remember when Reitzer Sanchez would have lottery parties. Yeah. And I remember seeing the video of when they jumped up to get Ben Simmons at number one. Obviously, a good reminder that not everything is guaranteed in stone just because you jump up. But just like having that moment where like you feel some kind of payoff for all of the terrible basketball you watched. Shout out Yorgos Kalatzakis, though. You know, shout out
to Yorgos this
for playing 45 minutes and almost dying.
60th day of last year's draft.
Like it just validates everything, and it's so stupid that it validates it because it was luck. It was pure luck. It was just the way that the balls bounced, Andrew. But oh my gosh, it makes it all feel so much more worth it.
It does.
Like I'm gonna have so much more energy going into next season, just knowing that like one of those guys is going to be on the Thunder.
Like, I know.
I'm so much more hyped.
Hey.
And I tweeted, like, I had talked myself into seven guys.
Summer League.
I really had.
Summer League is going to be incredible.
They're especially because Giddy's playing.
Giddy's playing Trey in Mann Utah. Playing. Yeah, in Utah.
Poku's playing. Then we're going to have the 2 and the 12.
It's just unbelievable. Hey, I'll be right back. You just keep talking. Hold on.
Oh, I can keep talking. Hey, if you have got a question for Al Baby Cakes, put it into the chat, okay? Because it's the Al Show now, and I'm answering all your questions. Hope you can't hear. I forgot to turn off my air purifier, which is my guinea pig is down here, and it's going off right now. I hope it's not too loud. It sounds like an air conditioner. How's fatherhood? Baby's doing good. Baby's sleeping 3 hours at a time. Feeling good, feeling great. My first reaction to number two, I couldn't believe it. Because I had already prepared. In my head, I was thinking 6 and 12. In fact, when we got to 6,
yeah,
I told my mother-in-law, I said, you're about to see the Thunder's logo. This is the most likely scenario.
I don't know how long I've been looking at like these mock drafts where I'm just staring at like 5, 6, 7, 8 and just thinking like who would I be most satisfied with? And like not looking at 4 or above. And like McKelly and I have been doing these Thunder After Darks about all these players, and I just like, is it even worth it? Like, am I just wasting my time, like, doing all this research about these guys and then doing these podcasts and just, like, just to set us up for just failure again?
This is legitimately why I've barely touched Jabari, Chet, or Paolo.
Yeah.
Like, I've watched a lot of Chet just because I've liked him from the beginning.
Yeah.
But, like, I haven't done a deep dive on the other two because I didn't want to yet. Like, I was doing Shaedon Sharpe. AJ Griffin, Ben Mathurin, like I was looking at all of those guys because I was like, all right, I can sell myself on, you know, bringing in a shooter.
You were texting us your list. Was that today?
Yeah, I was trying to get really passionate about Ben Mathurin, which I sort of am. But
he's
like,
he's cool. He's cool. He's fun. He may fall to 12. That would be awesome.
He's cool. Hey, maybe they'll take him at 2. You never know. Maybe. You know what my first thought was actually when we got 2 was, I wonder if Presti will take Shaedon Sharpe there.
Okay. So let's dive into that for just a second. Who would be the most shocking number 2 pick for you? What's the most Presti curveball here?
I think it's Sharpe. I think Sharpe is the most like shocking but realistic, where like it would be shocking in the moment, but you'd instantly get it.
Yeah.
You'd understand like they clearly know something about this guy. You know, everything about Sharpe's background suggests that this is a high-level prospect that if he had just had, like, a normal college year, would have been in consideration for the first pick, based on the way some people talk about him. And so, if Presti took him, it would not be surprising. And that was my first thought when we got the second pick. I was like, I wonder if he takes Sharpe here. We're getting all excited about these big men, and would he just come around and take Sharpe?
I just don't think so. I would be very, very surprised if that happened.
I would be shocked. I can only think of those three big guys.
I would get really hyped though. If they took him, if they thought that he was that good, I would get pretty hyped. Because it's not hard watching Chet, Jabari, and Paolo and saying like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, all the three of those guys are going to be incredible in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be surprised if they weren't. And then if you see those guys and have their body of work and then you still take Shaedon, then you have to be crazy hyped because like, you may be getting like Tracy McGrady or something, you know?
Yeah, for sure. The other thing I'd say about like this draft is that with those top three picks, and maybe you could say this is true like in any draft because Shea and Giddy are like so versatile.
Yeah.
Like you feel like you can move them around a lot. But it feels like in a draft that some consider weak, at least in comparison to last year, it really set up nicely where like any of those top three guys, you could quickly figure out how to fit them with OKC's existing roster.
Mm-hmm.
Like they all make immediate sense.
Yeah.
Like if Jaden Ivey was thought of as the number one pick, and like, or like the obvious number two pick. Like, let's say there was obvious number one, and then Jaden Ivey was the obvious number two.
Yeah,
like you'd have questions in your head. Like, you'd probably still want them to go with BPA, but you'd have questions like, is this really going to work?
That's where I would be doing my, like, the Mavericks have three ball handlers, you know, routine, you know.
Oh, we would talk ourselves into it because you'd be like, well, you know, Belly ran the three-guard lineup. We kind of made a name for ourselves that season with it. Why not do it again? Exactly. But it, the fits feel so clean with the current options at the top.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, as much as I would have loved for them to get a top three pick last year and land someone like Evan Mobley, like, this is a nice consolation prize to end up high in a draft where the top players are such clean fits.
So who is your, what's your, what's the Al Baby Cakes big board looking like these days?
I mean, I'll, right now it's probably Chet, Paolo, Jabari.
Okay. Okay, give your pitch for Chet, because I talked to so many people tonight and I don't think I got one Chet person.
Oh, really? What are people mostly saying?
A lot of people are Jabari. A lot of Jabari people. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of my belief in Chet goes back to like who he has been as a prospect for several years. Like, I can remember watching Chet Holmgren highlights like years ago.
Yeah.
Like 2 or 3 years ago, like knowing this guy was coming and feeling like there's still so much untapped with Chet, especially mainly offensively,
mm-hmm.
compared to what we saw at Gonzaga, where he was on a veteran team and he was playing a role for most of the season. Like, you started to see some glimpses of his like offensive role expanding as the season went on. But I just feel like there's still so much more to unpack there offensively. And I think it's going to take time. I'm not saying he's going to come in and dominate.
Yeah.
But I'm higher on his offensive like game than I think a lot of people who wouldn't take Chet would be, because they look at what he did in Gonzaga and they're thinking, oh, this is primarily going to be like a defensive big who, you know, maybe he can stretch the floor a little bit. I just have a little bit higher ceiling than that for Chet offensively. And that's why I get so excited, because on the flip side, like, I feel good about the defense. Don't care about the body. I really don't at all. And we'll never care about the body. Like, I just don't worry about it. Like, he's succeeded at every single level. Like, are there going to be guys that he has issues with? Yeah, absolutely. But there's guys that everyone has issues with. Like, no, I don't think he's going to be like the perfect defensive center that can like do every single thing. But I think he is just so smart defensively.
Yeah.
And you put him on that back line as the anchor of this OKC defense. I don't know. I just think it's such a clean fit. And there's upside there that I don't feel like is there with Jabari. Mm-hmm. Because in the same way that I feel like Chet's offensive ceiling, there's still some room to grow. Jabari's offensive ceiling, I feel lower on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, I think he's a good shooter. But like the fact that he shot so poorly from two, like the fact that he's not really a self-creator, even though he like gets talked about that way sometimes.
He can do like the one dribble pull up, and he can do like jab step follow away stuff.
But even that, we're talking about like flashes. Like it's not like he's coming in and he's like Paolo in that. Like, Paolo has a bag.
Paolo's got the bag. If anybody's got the bag in this draft, it's Paolo Banchero. Yeah.
And I feel like when people talk about Jabari, they're more talking about flashes outside of his shooting offensively than like, oh, I feel super confident. And the other thing is like, Jabari is not this wildly athletic guy.
Yeah.
That I feel like a lot of people talk about him. Chip Jones. Are you familiar with Chip?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Chip Jones NBA. So he had, he said at 6'10", Jabari had 15 dunks all year and a block percentage of 3.8. Here's a list of dudes 6'10 plus drafted with 20 or less dunks and a block percentage below 5. And it is all white guys. It is John Lewis, Ryan Kelly, Luca Garza, Mo Wagner, another Luca Garza, Justin John Hamilton, Lure. Henry Ellenson, Domantas Sabonis is there, Vucevic, like Justin Harper, Justin Hamilton. Like, he's not that elite type of athlete that I feel like some people think he is.
Yeah.
at least like by the stats. And so that's why for me, he is at three. And then I still need to be sold a little bit on the idea of Paolo in OKC. I just want someone to like envision it for me, to tell me like how they think it would work, how he would fit on this team. But just as a prospect, I like him more than Jabari.
Yeah. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help you find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. When I was looking for somebody to hire for my team, I had to go to LinkedIn Jobs because you just don't know the quality of these candidates. And the good thing about LinkedIn Jobs, it kind of helps you filter through and find the best people. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals that you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/dunk. That's linkedin.com/dunk to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Yeah, with Chet, like he sets a good screen. He can pop out to three. He loves to dunk the basketball. He loves to finish through contact. He's not Poku. And that's part of me is like, if the Thunder didn't have Poku, would the fan base be as scared of him? You know? Like, I feel like...
They probably would. I mean, I get why people are scared of Chet. Like, even looking at him at the draft lottery, like
the look is not the reason why you take him, certainly. But he is a brilliant basketball player, and there are a lot of reasons that he fits like the Thunder mold. Is that he's multi-skilled, he is a team player. You know, he didn't come into Gonzaga saying like I'm going to be the man. He clearly let Drew Timmy be the leader of that team. And like the shot blocking, shooting combination that exists with him. And he's got some offensive moves too. I mean, the guy that I've heard some people compare him to and say like his absolute ceiling is going to be like Anthony Davis. And we don't have like the best taste in our mouth last from Anthony Davis with this Lakers season. But to have a big that can affect, you know, shots at the rim and then offensively be a weapon, it's incredible. There were times this past season where, because the Thunder have such a great creator in Shea and in Josh Giddey, that they made guys like Derek Favors look awesome. You know, like those guys had good games this year because we have good guards. And you know, Chet understands spacing very well and understands how to move within an offense. And also, I would just like Sam Presti's obsession with Gonzaga. Like, it would just, I'd be really, really surprised if Chet doesn't go number one and the Thunder don't take him. Like, I would be pretty shocked if that didn't happen.
And I will also say, like, one of my biases is that I don't like safety at the top. I don't think the top of the draft is where you should go for safety. And I've seen this with Jabari Smith. Like, Sam Vecenie wrote in his mock draft that he feels like Jabari Smith is the safest choice.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about safety in the top five.
Give me
ceiling. Like, you don't know when you're going to be in the top five. And I'm not going to make a decision based on safety, because that sounds like a decision you're making just to save your job. Hey, let's just choose the guy that we feel like the most comfortable with, that we feel is like the highest floor. Which maybe Jabari is that guy, but like, I think you have to shoot for the moon when you get these opportunities.
Scared money don't make none, man.
That's right. And I feel like Chet is that guy.
Yeah.
Like, it is a risk, but is it a risk worth taking?
If you want to win an NBA title, this team has to try to select somebody that could be the best player on the team. Like, full stop. And I don't believe that Jabari could be the best player on this team.
Like, he would be, like, his fit is incredible. Like, I'm not denying that.
He's a great second piece. Like, a great second piece. But, and this is it's kind of interesting because it's a little bit of a callback, and the order is different for the Grizzlies. Because if you look back, this was the 2018 draft. So in the 2018 draft, they took Jaren Jackson Jr. at 4 and probably could have made a trade to get Luka Doncic even, or taken Trae Young or somebody like that. And they took a safer pick in Jaren Jackson Jr. It's worked out fine for them. You know, I don't think they have regrets about that, but like, the ceiling of a Trae Young is a lot higher, and it was way riskier at the time to take Trae. But like, if the Grizzlies called the Hawks and said, "Hey, we'll trade you Jaren Jackson for Trae Young," like, they just get laughed at, you know, like, it's just not going to happen. And so you just wonder about, well, like, the running mate for Shea. Like, that's what we're looking for, right? It's like, who's going to be the guy that is going to take the Shea Gilgeous-Alexander basketball team to the top? And I think it's Chet Holmgren. Like, that's who I think it is. And I could be wrong, but to me, that's the one where you can say, okay, the ceiling is there with Chet.
And I think the pitch for Jabari is that, like, long-term, you look at him as potentially their small ball center. I thought that stat that Caitlin Cooper tweeted out, that going into the conference finals, the only player 6'10 or taller who had played 25 or more minutes per game on those teams was Maxi Kleber. Yeah. That was it.
Yeah.
Like, it is super small right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really going to see it in the Mavs versus the Warriors.
Yeah. Small, like, and small, so, ball exclusively. Yeah.
Like, I don't want to discount Jabari too much because, like, I get it. Like, the fit is there. It's just, is the upside there? Like, what is the ceiling of that player? You have this one opportunity, potentially one opportunity,
yeah,
to have a, like, top two pick in a draft. Are you going to go with the safe choice that is a easy fit? Or are you going to kind of look towards the future and say, could we potentially get a game breaker? Like, someone who we don't really know what they're going to look like in the NBA yet.
Yeah.
And in the same breath that I say that Chet is probably more of a risk, like, go look at his advanced stats. Like, the dude put up one of the most historically great freshman seasons in college basketball by some of the advanced metrics.
Yeah, he averaged 3.7 blocks per game. Per game. I mean, that's insane. He's up over 4 stocks a game, which is absolutely crazy. I mean, and he was wildly efficient as a player at a young age as a freshman. I mean, it is really, really impressive what he's been able to do. It's exciting. We're going to do more deep dives on these guys and talk a lot more about them. If you want, like, an extra podcast, you can go to patreon.com/OKC Dream Team and get, there's a podcast about Chet, Jabari, Paolo, Jaden Ivey, Shaedon Sharpe, Keegan Murray, AJ Griffin. Who else do we do? We did Ben Mathurin, Johnny Davis, Mark Williams, and Walker Kessler. So all of those, there's individual podcasts for those that you can go listen to that McKelly and I did. Man, the draft is going to be 1,000% more fun because they got the number 2 pick and then figuring out what they're going to do with 12. And then, like, don't forget, they've got 30 and 34 too.
And somebody just asked, who do we think Orlando's going to take? So all of these mocks have them taking Jabari Smith, and maybe there's something they don't know, or they know. about what the Magic are going to do, and that's why they're saying that. But like, if I'm the Magic and I don't take Paolo, I would be very upset because they've built this team. Like, if we assume that Isaac is coming back, we kind of know what we have with Suggs, at least like defensively.
Yeah.
Like, you feel good about Franz Wagner. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, how is this team scoring enough points long term? And the idea of adding Chet or even Jabari to that team, like when Paolo's right there, I just feel like he gives them so much more offensive upside, which is what they desperately need. And I think him with, especially with like him with Franz, like two, like what, 6'10 guys who can be playmakers for your team. Like, I just think that's an awesome fit. I don't know if that's going to happen, but like, that was my instant reaction. Like, they should take Paolo. That is an obvious fit to me.
Yeah.
But of course everyone has him taking Jabari.
Yeah.
So.
Defensively, he just doesn't quite match what they have. But it
doesn't, but it doesn't matter. Like, that's why I feel like it's such a good fit, because you have everyone else on that team seemingly is a good defender.
Mm-hmm.
Like, any deficiencies of Paolo is going to be covered up by all those
he's
other guys.
Not the type of player that they've drafted in the past. I would be a little surprised if that's the direction they went. I don't disagree with your take. I just would be a little surprised if this Magic regime wouldn't go for the exact safe pick.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I do think that Orlando's in a great situation where if, and I don't think this will leak, but who knows, like, if they know who the Thunder wants. Because some people are bringing up, like, what about 12-2 for one? I do think if Orlando plays this right and they get an idea of who OKC is going to take, or if they're just, like, open to, like, two of those guys at the top, that's the obvious move.
Yeah.
You trade down to two because, I mean, you see it right here. You see it in the comment section. Like, there's a wide range of opinions on those top three guys.
It's unbelievable. It is... What it is like a really fun draft for content, because like last year it was Cade Cunningham. Like, yeah, you're taking Cade Cunningham. And then like people tried to like say somebody else and you'd be like, no, that's stupid. It's Cade Cunningham. This draft, I feel like there are arguments for all three that make total sense, that make 100% sense. Because you could be like, hey, look, listen, Jabari Smith can do like what Mike Muscala did for this team, but over the course of 35 minutes and play great defense, and you're instantly like a good offensive team. And all they've needed is like a big that can stretch that people care about their shooting. Because you look at the minutes that Mike Muscala played with this team last year, and if you translate that to a player that can do a little bit more offensively than Mike and that can play big minutes, and then Mike is his backup, it's like, okay, like that's quite interesting, because what this team needs so, so, so badly is shooting. And if you can get shooting at 2 and at 12, I think you feel a lot better about the direction of this team. And that's like where you can talk yourself into Jabari Smith. Where I can talk myself into Paolo is like, he's probably the most likely guy out of that trio to average 25 points per game. And he could be one of the best. He could be your best or second best player on your team pretty easily. And then we've already talked about Chet. Like, there's an argument for all three. And I'm excited to kind of take this journey for Sam to take somebody else.
And if they did trade up to one, like on the one hand, you're bummed because it's like, wow, that just cost us like an extra lottery pick.
Yeah.
But if they made a move like that, you would know that like they got their guy.
And you feel and very confident.
Yeah. It would be similar to the Fultz Tatum trade.
Yeah.
Now, you'd be on the dangerous side.
You don't want to be on the Sixers process side of that one.
Or like the Luka trade where you're trading a current pick and then you're trading what ends up being like another late lottery pick.
Yeah.
And if the Magic are smart, I think they have to try to play this to encourage that kind of trade up. In a trade where there are three guys that everyone feels like are pretty close and it's kind of eye of the beholder, if Orlando's good at this, they should get a trade out of this. Unless there's a guy that they just feels like so clear the one and they don't want to risk it. Like, they should be playing OKC and Houston against each other trying to get them to trade up to one so that they can move down a few spots and still get one of these three guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy, Al, what a great day. What a great day to be a Thunder fan. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. Obviously, we're going to have many more shows for you soon. Listen to Saturday Slam and Jam, which will drop tomorrow. It's going to be all about the lottery. Matt Penny's going to join, and we're going to get some beat writers from The Athletic to join as well to just talk about the draft and the lottery. And it's going to be great fun. That should be out mid-morning tomorrow. And lots of stuff coming at you this week. So thanks so much for everybody for tuning in. If you haven't tuned in before to our live streams before on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button before you click off this video, and just get ready for some amazing draft content. And man, the Thunder, this was like the moment that I feel like that we've needed. This is big time. So enjoy it, and we'll talk to you guys again on Friday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.